Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jiwon Yum, the Senior Product Manager for Virtualized Solutions here at Symantec. Today we are going to look at some of the consideration points that a data center needs to look over when they're implementing HADR for the virtual environment. And we'll see some of the innovative ways of doing so, and we'll introduce you to one of our products that may just enable you to do so. But before we go on, let's do a quick poll. How many of you here are implementing some kind of virtualized solutions in your data center? Okay. Thus, VM world. How many of you are installing production applications in your virtual center? Oh. And mission critical applications? Wow, that's much more than I thought. So according to some of the data that I saw, roughly 60 to 80% of the customers out there are trying out virtualized solutions in one way or another. 40% of them are implementing production applications, and 10% of them are installing mission critical applications. Well, I mean, but you guys are way out there. Okay? So this is the agenda for today. We'll see some of the HADR challenges that the current virtual environment data centers are facing, look at some of the consideration points, look at some of the available solutions and some of the shortcomings of that, and we'll introduce you to Veritas Cluster Server, which addresses all of those issues. And then on the latter part of the session, we'll look at a demo so that you can see how it works, and then we'll do some Q&A. So according to a survey done this August by a company called the InfoPro, these are the reasons people are virtualizing. Most of them are doing it for server consolidation and cost reduction, although some of them are looking into the more advanced features such as dynamic provisioning or DR or improving utilization. But as all things that are sweet, there are the sour. Here are the consideration points that one is realizing after implementing virtualized environments. The top two issues were vulnerability and manageability. If you look closely, you'll see that all the other consideration points are not really technical in nature. So we'll look at the top twos and see how we can address them. First, the vulnerability issue. When the InfoPro did their survey, a lot of the customers repeated the same phrase over and over again. It's like having too many eggs in one basket. An average customer had about 10 to 20 virtual servers running in their production box, and well, having that many servers in one physical box, and if that physical box goes down, or if one of the components inside those, or in one of those virtual servers going down, was becoming a risk. I mean, in the good old days, you had one operating system for your one physical box, and if that went down, it was not too much of a deal. But if 20 of them goes down at once, now that becomes a big deal. And the other thing that we saw was you have all these components. Not only do you have all these physical components that you had in your physical data center, but you have these virtual servers and the links between the virtual servers or virtual components, and you have to multiply them by 20. And having this many moving parts adds to your vulnerability. Now, this was issue number one. Issue number two, manageability. In the days before VMware and virtualization, you had the mainframes, the various Unix servers, the various Intel servers, and the storages and the network components. Now, with virtualization, you have the virtualization platform, the hypervisor, something else that you need to manage. And on top of these, you're running various virtual servers. Now, a lot of the customers out there are using the existing tools that are used for the physical environment to manage these, but are these really addressing all the specific needs that are specific for the virtual environment? do they really adapt well to this new environment? That is the issue. And with vMotion, you have servers that move around and applications move along with it. So can you really track them? Can you really track the servers, the links, all that? And that's becoming another management issue. And of course, the links. Unless you have a, how shall we put it, a virtual switch or a virtual router that monitors all these links and monitors the health of these links, and you have a management problem. So a lot of the customers out there are saying they want to manage it just like they manage their physical environment. Is there any way of doing this? So the customers that we've been talking to, some of them install lots of scripts, custom-made scripts to make it work. Some of them are just using the existing physical data center tools out there, clustering, management tools, things like that, to address these issues. Well, first, let's look at the clustering tools. Traditional clustering has been done so. You would have a server and a standby server on the other side. You would have your application working, and if that server fails, the application would be moved over to the standby node, and you would have that kept, you have your workload kept up and running. For the virtual environment, people have been doing pretty much the same thing. It's just running in the guest OS. Excuse me. So they just install the clustering software in the guest OS. They configure it as so, pretty much similar. But is this really as good as it gets? I mean, it is a virtual environment. Can't we take any advantage of it? So let's see where we can improve upon. Let's say you have two virtual servers running and two standby virtual servers running on the other side. One thing that I would like to point out is, why would you have two standby servers up and running on the other node? They would be eating up resources. I mean, after all, you would want that resource to run something else, right, rather than a standby duplicate server. And then you have applications running in all the nodes, duplicates, application one here, application one there. So you would have to pay twice the amount in application licensing fees. That's money that you can save. And then you are installing the clustering software on all the nodes, again, eating up your performance, which I don't think is a preferred method of managing your data center. And then we haven't addressed the manageability issue yet. It's still very complex, all of these different pieces running around. It hasn't been addressed. So VMware listen to their customers very closely, and they come up with very good products. And VMware HA is one way of addressing your HA needs. If there's something wrong with your physical box, VMware HA does a very good job of failing over those boxes and those virtual servers to the other side. But there are some issues with this. It doesn't address the virtual server outage or an application outage, or if one of your virtual resources go out, VMware HA will not help you out there. Nor will it help you out if there's a data center-wide outage. It doesn't cover that part. And then it would be nice to have automatic response or automatic notification should something go wrong with in one of the 20 virtual servers running in your box. VMware HA doesn't address that yet. And then there's vMotion and DRS. A lot of the customers out there think this is a high availability solution. It's very good for known activities such as workload balancing or installing patches. I mean, you know what will happen beforehand. So you can give a command, move servers around, you know, be prepared. So it's all good for that. And this requires your virtual machines to be up and running in order for this to work. Well, the thing is, it will not help you if there's a sudden outage, a power outage, some kind of tsunami, flood, etc. So vMotion and DRS, it will not provide you with HA. So is there something out there that provides an answer for all the issues that we have mentioned so far? Well, I would like to introduce you to VCS. Some of you may be already familiar with this. VCS is the number one market share leader in clustering software for the cross-OS platform. It provides HA and DR in one package. I mean, I know you went to all the other different sessions out there, and a lot of them provide HA, some of them provide DR, but have you ever seen a all-in-one package solution? Well, VCS is it. And it supports all the OSs out there, Windows, Linux, Unix, and VMware ESX. It will be GA'd early first quarter of 2007. Currently, we are at beta phase, and we have been testing this out with various different customers of ours, and the response so far has been very positive. So, what does this do for you? Some of the highlights. We run our data center not to brag about how long we kept up our servers, but to provide some kind of service to our business units or to our customers. So if you want to monitor, manage your application uptime, VCS would be it. And if you're prudent enough to have clustering or HA for your virtual environment, it's probably likely that you have something for your production, physical environment as well. So VCS provides clustering manageability for all kinds of different clusters. It also leverages the vMotion capabilities or the DRS capabilities of VMware, so you can have best of both worlds. And for DR, if you want to protect against DR failure, VCS has that as well. So let's see how it works in a nutshell. In this instance, you have two physical servers on your primary site and one physical server on your secondary site. VCS is installed in the hypervisor layer or the server console OS. So even if you have 100 different virtual machines, you don't have to install VCS 100 different times. You only have to install it, in this instance, 3 times. And let's say you have 3 virtual machines running in this example. Of course, you can have different virtual machines running in the other servers. So as long as there's spare capacity, things can move around. So it can be an active-active configuration. And it doesn't have to be a 2-node cluster. It can be a 6-node, 7-node, 8-node cluster, what have you. So VCS will detect various different kinds of faults. For instance, if something goes wrong with your virtual machine, it will be failed over, or it can be restarted, or it can just send out an email notification saying, I faulted. Please fix this manually. If something goes wrong with your application, VCS will detect it, and it will take appropriate action. When we say we monitor the application, it's not just something simple as pinging it or PSing it. We have dedicated agents built for them, and they do in-depth research to see if it's truly working or not for databases, for web servers, and what have you. And if the physical box goes down, all the machines inside will be failed over. And by some unfortunate accident, if your entire data center goes down, it will again fail over your mission-critical applications. So what value does this provide to the customers? Well, for one thing, it provides additional protection on top of VMware's HA capabilities. VMware protects you from physical box failures. VCS protects you from application, virtual server, virtual resource, and data center failures. And it also allows you to manage your environment from a very granular level. It shows you all the virtual servers and all the resources inside it. It shows this with a very easy-to-use GUI so that you can use mouse clicks to manage your Linux or Windows environment, very simple to use. It provides you with automatic notifications and automated fixes to various situations. So in this instance, if your IIS server goes down, IIS application goes down, it will notice it, send you an email saying that something went down, and it will take appropriate action that you have set up to. And as you can see here, it maintains the dependencies between these resources. So if something goes down, let's say the operating system goes down, all the resources that are interconnected to it will take appropriate steps so that it's a graceful failover, and it gracefully starts over on another node or on the same node. So you can manage it pretty much like a real server. And this can be implemented even across servers as well. So if you have a multi-tier environment where you have a virtual database server, a virtual application server, and a virtual web server, it will all keep this maintained. So if your application server goes down, the database server and the web servers will take appropriate action so that this entire service is kept up and running. And of course, we provide DR. We've been providing this with CCS since 1998. And unlike other DR solutions where you have to do call everybody, go through 20 different steps, all you have to do with CCS is, well, click on that button over there that says take action, and VCS will do all the complex DR steps under the covers. This will be all covered during, we have a live booth demo at our booth, so if you want to see it, we can show it to you. And then, because we provide DR capability for all kinds of different OSs out there, it's just one console for all your clusters, and they're all done using one framework, be it Linux, Windows, Unix. It's all one console, one framework. So if you have a need to add another platform later on and have it HADR enabled, it can be done without additional training. And because VCS for VMware ESX is built for the virtual environment, we take full advantage of that. So if you want a N plus M cluster instead of just a simple two-node cluster, you can do that. No need to buy two times the hardware in order to have high availability. Like you said, vMotion and DRS, we are fully compatible with that. So if something like that happens, VCS is aware of that, and it will not do some unnecessary failovers. You don't have to install standby nodes, so you're not wasting resources or application licensing fees. And we are especially proud of this fire drill feature. Basically, what it is a DR simulator. And what we have found is that customers will spend millions of dollars to set up their DR site, but 78% of them never do really get to test it out because it takes so much commitment, so much effort, and some outage in order to test that out. So fire drill allows you to simulate that without having any impact on your production environment. So this is how it will work. On your primary site, the application will be kept up and running, but on your secondary site, we'll take a snapshot of the replicated image, connect that up, see if everything works, test out the configurations, and it'll generate a report on what needs to be done. And then it'll just have everything back to normal. So no outage is required. Everything is done very simply, smoothly. And one of our customers who has been using fire drill was able to do a DR, and it just went like clockwork. Nothing went wrong. Everything worked. So they were very happy. So those were some of the features, benefits of using VCS for VMware. And here are some of the things, the use cases on how VCS for VMware can be used. For those customers who would like to reduce the number of tools that's being used in their data center, we have been providing VCS for your mission critical application so far on all the physical OSs. And now that we have VCS for the VMware environment, for those looking to do standardization, this would be the answer. And for those of you who would like to implement a more highly available data center environment, VCS can detect all kinds of failures, everything from application to DR. So in all in one package. So that would be another use case for you. And we know that two data centers are alike. Some want an N plus M cluster. Some want a physical server failing over to a virtual server. Some want a virtual server failing over to a physical server and such. So VCS allows you to do all kinds of configurations. And that would be another use for it. And again, if you want DR, VCS would be your answer, all in one package. So that has been the presentation portion of this session. Now I'll change it over to our technical product manager, Kyle Greaves. There, show.
All right, thanks, Guillaume. Can I get a quick show? Who here has worked with VCS in the past? Okay, so for you guys, this demo is probably going to look pretty familiar. What I've done is I'm using the VCS simulator. What the simulator is a tool that we have, you can download, and it has all the cluster logic. It's the cluster engine, but it's in a package that you can run on your desktop, your laptop, and it allows you to actually build your cluster configurations, to rehearse failure scenarios, and be able to test things out, train, and basically see how VCS is going to work. And then you can take that configuration off, copy it onto your production cluster, and you know, you've tested it before. So in doing this demo, a couple things you're going to notice is when I do the failovers, they happen very quickly. I mean, in reality, it's going to be a little slower. So in our booth, we actually have a live demo. We actually are VPN'd into our corporate office where I have set up a configuration, and you can come there and you can actually see the product as it would be in a real-world environment as opposed to just a simulator. So in our demo here, what we have is this is a SFO primary site. So we have a site in San Francisco that's our primary site, and then we have a site in Salt Lake City that is our disaster recovery site. At the primary site, we have 5 ESX servers, and the screen resolution, unfortunately, wasn't what I hoped it would be, so the names are a little cut off. But these boxes here represent 5 ESX servers. And as Juwan pointed out, we're actually installing Veritas Cluster Server inside the ESX server. So we just install it, and you know, it's pretty much like you install any Linux application, just a bunch of RPMs get installed and configured. We have the interconnects, everything's set up. And then on those 5 ESX servers, we create our virtual machines. And so in the example here, I have 9 virtual machines. From the name, you can kind of get an idea. I got a couple of Red Hat virtual machines, SUSE virtual machines, and some Windows virtual machines. In the Red Hat virtual machines, I got prod and test, for all of them, I got prod and test. Okay, so that's our primary site. We can see here in the center of the screen where the green check is. That shows us where the application is running, where that virtual machine is running on that ESX host. So I can look at the example here. I can see on ESX prod sys1, I'm running both my Red Hat prod and my Windows prod. So I'm running my Red Hat web server and my Windows database server on that physical box. So now if I go over and look at the remote cluster status, of the 9 virtual machines, only 4 of those are mission critical. So I'm providing DR for 4 of those, and I'm using hardware-based replication, and I'm replicating those VMFS volumes, the LUNs on which those VMFS volumes reside. I'm using hardware-based replication. I'm replicating those to my DR site. And at the DR site, I have, over here on DR, I have the same 4 virtual machines configured in another VCS cluster, and it shows you the state here. And you can see up there at the top, my primary cluster where I'm logged in is running, my DR cluster is running, and I'm heartbeating. So the 2 clusters are connected. And you can see the status of all my virtual machines. And as Juwan pointed out, I could have that DR site can be running other virtual machines. I can do the dual use DR. There's no requirement that I have idle boxes in my DR site. I can use those, and as part of the failover, I can maybe shut down some virtual machines to make room for my DR when I do the DR takeover. Or I could just, you know, plan it so I have the available capacity. So now I'm going to switch over, and I'm going to look at the DR cluster. And again, you'll see it's a very same look and feel, the difference being here. Now I'm looking at the DR site. And so there's only 2 nodes there. I have a 2-node cluster at my DR site. And I have just the four virtual machines configured. And over here on the remote status column, it shows you that they're online at the primary site. If I click on the remote cluster status, we can see that the two clusters are up and talking. And again, we see they're down at the DR site. They're online at the primary site. So that's kind of the environment. So we have a primary site, a DR site. We've got virtual machines, and we're replicating those using hardware-based replication between the two sites. So, you know, one of the big questions we've been getting, and Juwan talked to, is, you know, what is the difference between Veritas cluster server and what's the value add over what I get with VMware HA? And as Juwan pointed out, VMware HA is going to protect us if a physical box fails. But availability is more than just a physical box. You know, I've got to have my application running. That application is going to run in a virtual machine. It's going to have storage. It's going to have network. And all those components have to be operational for that application service to be available. So with VCS, if we look at this example of a Red Hat virtual machine running Oracle, you can see here each of these icons represents what we call a resource. On the ESX server, we have agents that run that monitor these resources. So for each resource type, there's a separate agent. That agent has all the logic it needs to understand what's monitoring. So an example, at the very bottom, we have the replication piece. So if I go and I'm replicating my LUN to the DR site, and I go to VCS, I say, bring this virtual machine online, it has to go to my storage array and has to say, is that LUN writable? Because it may be, if I'm on the DR side, it may be in a read-only mode. And so I need to go out and I say, if you're in read-only mode, go ahead, if my primary site's up, demote him to secondary and promote me to primary. I have to switch my replication. If it's in a DR scenario where I have to do a takeover, I'm going to have to go in and tell the array, hey, you know, take over these LUNs. I'm bringing them up. Make them writable. And so we automate that, and that agent is going to be responsible for doing that. So when I say bring it online, he starts at the bottom. First thing he does is he makes sure that my storage is visible and it's writable. Then I have the VMFS volume. Obviously, that's where my virtual machine resides, is in that volume. So if my host is not seeing that volume, I can't start that virtual machine. So what he'll do is he'll look and he'll make sure, hey, the volume's here, it's present. Maybe I need to do a rescan. You know, if it's on the DR site, maybe it's been a while, maybe I need to do a rescan to refresh the list of LUNs that he sees. So we're going to make sure we see that VMFS volume. Over here, we have the virtual switch. So we're going to be looking at that virtual switch interface and make sure that you've got traffic going and that it's up and it's on the network. So after I've made sure I got my storage components and my networking components in place, now I can start my virtual machine. Right here's my virtual machine. And you'll see, all I'm doing is I'm giving it the VMX file. I just tell VCS, here's the VMX file. Now go out and start that virtual machine. And so he goes out and he calls out to the ESX server and he says, hey, bring that virtual machine online. Once that virtual machine's online, he's going to start the Oracle database and he's going to start the Oracle listener. Okay, so inside that virtual machine, I've installed the VCS VM tools, very similar to VMware, the VM tools. And so what that is that's the lightweight monitoring component that has the agent that's going to be able to go in and monitor that database and monitor that listener. And I can set it up so it's just doing simple, in this example, doing PS and seeing if the processes are there. I can do detailed monitoring where I'm actually doing SQL queries. I'm doing a listener control stat. I'm querying the application. I'm looking at the processes, and I'm making sure it's running. So with VCS, high availability is more than just making sure a physical box is running. It's more than making sure a virtual machine is running. We're looking at the entire stack, the storage, the networking, the virtual machine, and the application. You know, we've been doing this for years on the physical side. The only difference here is now we just added that virtualization piece. So in addition to looking at the storage, the network, and the application, we're now looking at that virtual machine layer. Yeah?
On that VM download from San Francisco to Salt Lake City, what about that VLAN up behind? Or do you have to make sure you have
the same VLAN? As part of the DR scenario, we have not shown in the demo here, but there's a VMIP, so there's agents that will go out and take care of re-IP in the box. There's a DNS agent that will go out and update DNS. So we automate all that. So let's look at an example of Windows. So here's my production Windows server, and you'll see the same basic layout. I have my replication piece down here. I have my VMFS volume, my network, my virtual machine, and the SQL database. And I'm monitoring all those components. If any one of those should fail, depending on how it's set up, you'll notice I can come up here and I can look at this database and I can say he's either critical or he's not critical. So right now he's not critical. So if he fails, it'll just notify me and say, hey, I got a problem. I'll get mail in my inbox. I'll send an SNMP trap to my SNMP console server. My pager will go off, and I can respond to that if I don't want to do a failover. Conversely, I could have it set up to restart that SQL database. Or if I just want to say, hey, if it fails, go ahead and fail that virtual machine over. You know, restart that virtual machine, or I can fail over to another box. So I'm going to go ahead and make it critical here. And you'll see down here, we're running on system one. So if I fault this resource, it's going to bring everything down. You're going to see it's going to happen a little quick, and this is where the simulator is a little different than the real-world demo. But what you're going to see a bunch of down arrows come, and it's going to start shutting everything down. Then you're going to see this little blue box turn yellow, and it's going to come over here probably on sys3, and then it's going to bring everything online. It's just going to simulate a failure. So I'm going to simulate that just by coming up here. I'm going to fault this resource. And so you'll see when I do this, I get the red X. You'll see it brings everything down. And then you'll notice it came over here to system 3. Now it's bringing everything up. So in the real world, what does that mean? Well, it means I basically just did a reboot of my virtual machine. So the application inside the virtual machine stopped responding. The agent inside that told VCS at the console, hey, SQL's down. So then the console said, okay, well, according to what you told me, I'm going to go ahead and fail this over. So he goes ahead and does a graceful shutdown of the virtual machine. And then he goes over, based on how I've defined it, goes over to the next system in his system list and brings it up. Okay, so that's an application failure. Again, we can go through the same thing. I can show you, here's a product database. What if the virtual machine fails? You know, here we can see that it's running down here on sys1. So when I fail this virtual machine, again, the same basic failover capability. Maintenance mode, no. Oh, okay. Yeah, so in that example. Okay, so like for example, if I come here to the this first machine, I want to do maintenance on it, I'd come into the cluster and I would freeze it. And if it's froze, I can go and do my maintenance, and the cluster won't do anything. In addition, there's a feature called intentional offline that works for some of the applications in the virtual machine. But if you go into, like, Virtual Center, or you go in and you do a shutdown, and VCS will see, hey, it just went offline, it will go out and ask Virtual Center, hey, did you shut this down? And if you did, it will call that an intentional offline, and it won't fault it. Right, so it would just be in an offline state, and in the offline state, we take no action. So it's offline, everything's fine. You bring it online, we're monitoring it. If you shut it down manually, it goes offline. The only time we're going to notify you is if it's online and it suddenly goes offline, and it wasn't intentional.
Got it.
Yeah, go ahead.
You mentioned that you need hardware replication.
Yes.
Is Storage Foundation also part of this, or are there plans to have that?
Okay. So the question is Storage Foundation, host-based replication versus using hardware replication. For those who aren't aware, Storage Foundation is our Volume Manager product. On the Unix side, it's Volume Manager and File System, Veritas Volume Manager, Veritas File System. On the Windows side, we just have the Volume Manager, works with NTFS. You can use those as part of the Volume Manager. There's a feature called Veritas Volume Replicator that can do host-based replication. You can use that, but if you use that, you have to go to VCS inside the guest. So we're talking VCS on the console. If you want to use host-based replication, or if you need some type of capability where you decouple the app from the OS and you want to be able to move that SQL database independent of the virtual machine. So, for example, I was talking to somebody earlier today, and they have a virtual machine running multiple SQL instances. If one of those SQL instances fails, he just wants to move that SQL instance over to another virtual machine without having to bring down the other four. So in those scenarios, in those use cases, VCS, just the traditional VCS product, inside the virtual machine. So you'd run it much the same way you'd run Microsoft Cluster Server in a virtual machine. So, what's that? For VVR? Okay, that's going to depend. In this scenario, using ESX for VMware, since we're relying on hardware replication, it would depend on the type of hardware. You know, if you're using EMC Clarion with MirrorView or, you know, SRDF or TrueCopy, or a lot of people want to see NetApp, SnapMirror.
So, what I'm referring to, like, the replication within your VM, you're using the Veritas.
Okay. Okay, I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that, if VVR would allow throttling. So if you want to catch up with me after,
okay.
I can get your email and I can find out and get you the answer to that. Okay, so pressing out the demo here. I'll go ahead and unfreeze this guy. Okay, now you'll notice if I go back to my status view, I now have, I faulted both the virtual machines that were running on system one. And you'll notice that maybe over here on system three, he's got a majority of the workload. And so I want to move those back. Well, if I go in and I clear these faults, you'll notice there's no auto fail back. Because obviously, if you took an outage and you failed over and now you fixed your server, you don't want to take another outage and move it back. This is where vMotion comes in. You can go in and you can use vMotion, and unfortunately I can't put that in the demo here, but you could go in and you could use vMotion to move those back to the original server. VCS is fully compatible, plays nice with vMotion and DRS. So let's say, okay, so let's go ahead now, and we talked about disaster recovery. So I think we got local high availability cover pretty good. The big points I want to stress here is that, you know, with Veritas Cluster Server, when we talk about local high availability, we're talking about availability of both the application, the virtual machine that application runs in, the related networking components, the related storage components. We automate that whole thing, and we're looking at all that. So if any of those pieces fail, we can provide notification and take action and provide availability. So now if we go to the DR site, now here we're running the DR side. The DR side, you know, nothing's running right now. And let's say what happens in a DR scenario. So I'm going to bring this down. The primary side goes away. So I'm at the DR site now. And let's say in San Francisco, a big storm blows through. They have a lot of flooding. They have a lot of damage. And the data center's down. Power's out. It's down. So it's going to stop talking to my primary cluster. So you see over here, we're now dead. So primary site's gone down. So it's not going to do anything automated. It's not going to automatically take over and do a DR because we don't know. That could be a hiccup. That could be something that's going to last 5 minutes. That could be something that's going to last 10 minutes. We're going to be on the phone. We're going to be talking to the executives. We're going to be making decisions based on our service level agreements, our recovery time objectives. What's going on? We have a disaster. What's my problem? And so this alert's going to pop up. And so the decision is going to have to be made to go ahead and do a DR. Go ahead and come up with a DR site. So if we look at what this message is telling us. It's telling you the primary site's down. Okay. So now what's involved in doing a takeover. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go out for those four virtual machines that I'm replicating. I'm going to have to take over the replication. So I'm going to go out to my replication. I'm going to say, make these LUNs writable. I'm going to have to take that over, make them writable. So that's my storage admin is going to need to do that. I'm going to have to go out and I'm going to have to update DNS. And I'm going to have to change the IP addresses. So I'm going to have to get my network folks involved. I'm going to have my admin here, the guy who's got admin rights to the cluster, as well as we're going to have the guys that have admin rights to the virtual machines potentially to bring it up. So there's a lot of people that need to get involved here. Unfortunately, the storage guy, lives in San Francisco, and his concern right now is not whether or not I can bring this up. His concern is whether or not his family's okay, you know, whether or not the tree's going to come off his house. So he's tied up, so I can't get a hold of him. The network guy, same thing. You know, I'm at the DR side, so I'm pretty savvy what's going on, but I'm not the expert. So that's one of the advantages of using something like this, is because now I can go ahead and do a DR. I can take over and bring things up at my DR site. I don't need to be the storage expert. I don't need to be knowledgeable of all the details of my replication because the cluster is going to take care of that for me. And if I'm using the fire drill feature that Juwan talked about, I'm testing this on a regular basis. So every week, every month, I'm breaking off copies of my replicated data, and I'm bringing those up, and I'm making sure that my database starts, my virtual machine starts, and that everything's good and healthy. So when this happens, if I've tested it routinely, and I know it works, instead of being a click and pray operation, I should be able to click on this and have confidence that, hey, it's going to come up. So what you do is you come up here and you tell it to take action, and when I do this, you're going to see this is all going to go offline. You're going to see everything come up over here. So again, this is kind of a anticlimactic in a simulator, but if you want to come to our booth, we can actually show you this in a real live environment. So I'll click take action, and it's going to say, okay, these are your global service groups. These are the virtual machines you've configured for replication. Do you want to bring them all online, or do you want to bring some of them? I'll go ahead and say bring them all online. And declare a disaster. I'll say okay. And you'll see it's bringing everything online at the DR site. The primary site's down. The DR site's online. And so what just happened there? Well, it went out for each of these virtual machines. It went out, and it went out to the, in this example, we're using a Clarion array. And so here we give it the mirror names and the disk array names. And it went out to the Clarion array, and it said, hey, are these LUNs primary? No, they're not. They're secondary. Well, do a takeover. So it ran the command to make a takeover. And after it did that, it went out, and it went to the ESX server and did some rescans to make sure he can now see those VMFS volumes. And after he made sure the VMFS volumes were up, he went ahead and, you know, verified the networking's up, brought up the virtual machine, and brought up the database. What I don't have in the example that I talked to is the VMIP resource, which would change the IP address, and the DNS resource, which will update DNS. And the reason I don't have that is because I copied this configuration from our live demo, and obviously I'm not able to update DNS in our demo setup. VCS, the cluster is loaded on the console. We have VCS tools, which is a lightweight agent framework that installs inside the guest. So you do have the agents running inside the guest. You had a question back here?
Yes, this one with Vine and Microsoft DNS, or do you have to use Microsoft DNS?
I know with the 5.0 release, so VCS 5.0, we're talking the Storage Foundation HA, the traditional product. They did a lot of work with what the LANMAN resource, and I believe that works with the Microsoft side. On the Unix side, it's bind only. The question I have is I don't know if the Microsoft side can do bind. So I think if you're Windows, it will do Active Directory. If you're Linux, it will do bind. But if you're like trying to update the Active Directory DNS from a Linux box, I don't think that will work. And that's pretty much it as far as the demo. I'm sorry. So I guess we're going to Q&A right now, so go ahead.
Do you still run VMware HA, or
does it replace it? So when you go in, you have to disable VMware HA. But like I say, you can fully toggle vMotion and DRS. Yeah?
Are your software agents work with some drone software?
We have a generic service and an application. So if you have scripts, it will start and stop. And we just have to write a script to do a monitor. And then we just call those scripts. And then we look at return codes. And so on the Windows side, we just look at, you know, you have you set your service, and we just look to make sure that service is running, and we just call those same scripts that you would run to start and stop it.
When it's installed, is it installed in
VCS
for Linux?
Or VCS for VMware ESX. Prior to VCS for VMware ESX, we had VCS for Linux 2.2, which supported ESX 2.5.
Does it come with any agents free of charge?
All the agents, is that going to be the same? Yeah, all the agents are free. So all the VCS products with a 5.0 release, we announced back in June, July, all the agents are now free.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Including the mirror view agents?
Yes. So any VCS agent, what we do is we ship out an agent pack CD every quarter. All the agents are on there, and you just run them no charge.
Yeah.
That hasn't been determined yet, but there'll probably be a per server. I don't know. Is it going to be per server? We haven't decided, but there'll be two packages. There'll be the basic HA capability, which will be very similar to, you know, VMware HA plus the application level monitoring, storage monitoring, network monitoring. Then there will be a separate DR package that gives you the DR components. Now, whether that's going to be priced per cluster, per server, per CPU, I'm not sure the details there. Yeah.
Do you offer any type of reporting or look at historical data so I can go back and look at my outages over
the
past 30 days? Any type of reporting whatsoever?
Right now, you'd have to go into the logs and you'd have to do some type of log scanning. Yeah, you can do a log from the interface. I don't know if it's going to look like in the demo, but yeah. See, so you can go in, and based on this, you can go in, you can filter. So I say I want to see just my critical and errors. And this log correlates to a text file, so if you want to write a script, it'll go through and parse the text file. But right now, we don't have any type of native reporting capability. You'd have to, using this capability, do your own.
From an architecture perspective,
uh-huh. Yep.
Is that still
the case with two? Yeah, because we use the same VMFS blocking protection to prevent against split brain that the VMware HA uses. We just piggyback on that. So we just need two redundant connections. So the split brain scenarios, you know, we're not as vulnerable to split brain in this environment because we're using VMFS blocking. But we still have to have two redundant connections because if you lose one, you know, there has to be. So typically what you do is you set your public interface as a low pry, and then whatever your VM kernel interface you're doing vMotion set up as your high pry, and go that way. No, yes, we are using GAB LT, but you're using GAB LT on the SX, and you just use those two interfaces for the interconnects. So, like I did a setup of IBM Blade servers, and you know they only had two NICs, so we just set up one for the public, one for the private heartbeat, and we use the same interface. We doubled them up, so the vMotion VM kernel interface and the private were all the same. My public is over the, you know, the low prime. It does, but where, you know, those interfaces are up and you're using those for other things, and we're just, you know, sharing them. But on VMware HA, you do have to put IP addresses on them though. They can be non-routable, and that's a VMware HA issue. For the interface to come up, because it's a virtual switch interface, not the VM NIC itself, you have to have an IP address. But that's just minor little. Okay, in the back?
So you said the VCS server runs from the ESX server, but the agents are in the virtual.
The VCS cluster with all the storage related, network related, virtual machine related agents run on the ESX console. Inside the guest, we run the application agents. So the agent monitoring SQL, the agent monitoring IIS, Oracle, that would run inside the virtual machine, the guest.
We can develop our own agent or resource agent.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So if you write your own, there's a generic service agent or on the Windows side or an application agent on the Linux side. We just point them to your script. And all you have to do is modify your script to have a certain return code. And then we just use those. So you can integrate your custom apps pretty easily. Yeah?
VMware always try to minimize the additional software you put on your console.
Uh-huh.
Are they certifying products?
Yeah. Yeah, we got joint messaging working out. They're fully, you know, teamed up with us, partnered with us.
Are they noticeable footprint?
You know, I don't know details on what type of testing we've done, but, you know, I've never, you know, all my testing I've done and stuff, it's never came up, so.
Okay.
I'd say it's pretty negligible. I do know our performance lab does have some benchmarks where they look for, you know, the overhead and stuff, but I don't know what those numbers are. Right, so in a multi-tier app, for example, like an SAP or an Oracle e-business where I have an application server and a database server, if my database server crashes, I shut down the app server, restart database server, restart the app server. Yeah, you can set up that through what we call service grid dependencies. First, you know, Q1, right now it looks like it's going to be first few weeks in January. Yeah, this only supports ESX Virtual Infrastructure 3. We haven't done any testing or backwards compatibility for 2.5. So it's VI 3, 301, and above.
The fire drill allowed you to do failback scenario. In other words, with the fire drill, this is a fail scenario. What about the failback?
Okay. So we have a thing we call last known good copy. Because one of the things with running with VMware and virtual machines, traditional clustering, you always decoupled the application from the OS. So when it came to doing things like OS patches, we had this thing we called rolling upgrade. You could move your application over to another OS, patch that OS, and if it broke the OS or broke it, you know, there's corruption or problem, then you just rebuilt that OS and you didn't affect your application. But now, because we're not decoupling and because we're treating the virtual machine and the application all as one, if for some reason you're doing patches and it corrupts your OS, your application's down. You've only got one virtual machine. And if that becomes corrupt, it kind of represents a single point of failure. So what we come out with is this idea of a last known good copy, where if you're replicating that to the DR site, and if you're breaking off a snapshot every day, you go in and have a like cron job or something that breaks off a snapshot, and that break comes up, and then if you have corruption the next day, you can like reverse and take that copy and use it to restore the original. And that copy, the process for taking that copy is the same thing FireDrill does. So, but what you'd have to do is you have to tie it with your hardware replication, because if you broke off a copy and now you got corruption, you would have to then go in and reverse your replication and sync it back. And whether you could do a different sync, a difference based resync, or a full resync would depend on your replication solution and what they support. But that's kind of the idea there.
But now you're manipulating your production. So in other words, when you fail over, and if you have that corruption, you're playing on the production side. Whatever you have on your DR is now being written back to production.
But see, you broke off a snapshot at your DR site. So you have two copies at your DR site. You have the snapshot that's part of your fire drill, your last known good copy.
Yeah.
Then you have the data that's actually being replicated to. So the corruption occurs, it gets replicated to my other virtual machine. So now both my primary site and my DR site copy are corrupt. But I got this last known good copy, my snapshot, sitting out here. So what I can do now is I can reverse sync that snapshot, and I can take that corrupted copy, overlay it, and now I've got my good copy, and I can reverse sync that back to my primary site.
But that DR doesn't, but that copy that's still reverting back into your DR doesn't necessarily have all the latest transactions.
Right.
So you do have a gap there.
Yes. So you have to determine, do we want to do the snapshot every 12 hours, every 24 hours? And so if I'm going to go in and do patches, what I might do is, okay, I'm going to come in and do patches at 10 o'clock at night. So first thing I'm going to do before I do my patches, make sure my replication is up to sync, and break off my mirrors. Do my patches. And then if I have a problem, you know, I can call back.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, so as to what happens to my replication, that's going to depend on the...
Well, yeah, that'll break, but how does
the... I would get the pop-up saying, hey, I can't talk to the primary site. What do you want to do? And I would just, you know, I'd ignore that action, and then I would figure out whatever, you know, somebody dug up the pipe or has some type of short-term outage. And then when it comes back up, they'll re-handshake, and everything will settle down. But, yeah, since... There's no, just because you lost connection, the DR site's not going to start bringing everything online and end up in a scenario where you're running both sides. It always requires some type of manual intervention to bring up the DR site.
Is there greater
Right now, EMC Clarion with MirrorView. Probably Hitachi and EMC will be very easy because we have all the support in traditional VCS. We just need to get those agents running on the ESX console layer and make sure that the vendor and VMware both approve that. So right now we have the Clarion, the EMC Clarion with MirrorView, SnapView. SRDF, TrueCopy will probably follow, and then NetApp seems to be a lot of people want NetApp, so NetApp SnapMirror will probably be one we'll definitely try and get in first maintenance pack. Okay. I think I scared everybody away. Anything else? All right, thanks. Okay.